Prepaid, man. I can't even... Come on. My prepaid's much better than yours.
My prepaid brings other geeks to the plan. My network is better than yours. My prepaid is better than yours. No surprises. Always know the charge. My prepaid lets me stream what I want. My speed is better than yours. My prepaid is better than yours. I can be free. There's no strings in the past. I wanna watch this on the best LTE. Jacket and crazy dog. The funniest fail. And you know what? It's selfie time. La 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 la. No annual contract. La 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 la. And awesome streaming. La 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 la. Watch like 12 shows. La 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 la. On the latest phone. With my prepaid, Mexico feels like home. From my guante, I've never been gone. My grandma thinks I'm a good boy. Bye-bye roaming, there's no extra charge. My prepaid lets me add data on demand. My carrier is better than yours. Verizon is better than yours. Get you going, but I have to charge. La 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 la. La la. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons & Dragons. I'm the only one here right now. Probably will be that way. So if nobody calls in here within the next few minutes, I'm going to just do Ron Paul, play some music, and then end the podcast early. If this podcast fades out, which I have a strong feeling it's going to, I'm just going to basically call and record Ron Paul once a week and post Ron Paul's weekly update. Since I'm a freedom fighter and I'm a firm believer in Ron Paul and Ron Paul's message, and I wish that I could have had a way to record all of his recording past. Still looking for an archive of all of his recordings so that I can download them, but I'm not sure if there are any. If there are, please somebody let me know. If you know, I don't know, whatever. So now I am basically going to be once a week recording them and archiving them for people who want them. That'll be minimum. Maximum, if anybody calls in on Sunday at 7, then we'll do a podcast. But if they don't, then we'll just do Ron Paul. And that's all I got to tell you about that. Joe Mama is the only one who remembered that we had a podcast tonight. Of course, she's not going to call in, I don't think. Of course, I could do I won't do that. So anyway. Oh, I'm frustrated. Nothing seems to be going right now. I mean, my life's not bad. It's good for the most part, but I'm an IT guy, or at least I used to be. I have my own server, sorta. I have my own IT business that used to be thriving, and now it's just kind of dwindling. I don't have the IT skills that I need to stay on top of things. And I don't think I have the passion for it anymore. It's like, I care, but I guess I don't care enough. 'Cause it's just so overwhelming to me that I just feel like I'm not an IT guy anymore. I love to learn and I like doing it. I mean, it's like I'm still addicted to it, but it's frustrating to me because I can't keep up, or it seems I can't keep up with it. I have a dateline, truckerdate.com. It's been down now for a month. The server that I have it on, because it was supposed to be unlimited hosting, can't obviously handle the dateline, even though they were referred to me by the people who built the software for the Dateline. And everybody said, oh, we can handle it. And now they're saying, well, now it's obviously not being able to handle it. And they're saying I'm in violation of their codes and conduct because I've overloaded their CPU and they're terminating my account. Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast.
Only one other participant? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Brian, try calling into the program?
No.
Or he tried calling you?
He tried calling me.
Ah. Ah.
But I was
everyone made names. But did somebody call you asking for a loan?
Somebody texted me for a loan.
Okay, we won't name names.
Yeah. He just cashed my $500 check. Why does he need a loan? I mean, that's why he just finally cashed it.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad he did, because I didn't like him sitting on it.
Right. Right. Well, that's getting a little too close to home, so let's not discuss this anymore here. But that was my excuse for being late, because he was talking to me.
Oh, okay.
You idiot!
All right, so I won't be going into all these. I'm going to move over to Walmart. And while we talk, I will be making the crossing across the Atlantic Ocean to Greenland and up the coast of Greenland for a little while, and then I got cut across to this island that I didn't even know was there until recently.
We're not supposed to be talking about demented. I mean, we're not supposed to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, this isn't D&D. Oh, this is gravel. Oh, well.
You mean it's not D&D?
It's not D&D. All right, that was fun. Yeah, Bolivar's not a bad town. It is downpouring here. How's the weather where you're at?
High and dry.
High and dry. That's pretty much what Bill described.
Yeah,
it was raining so bad, I had to hang up on Bill. It's like, Bill, I can barely see in front of me. I can't afford to be talking to you on the phone. Oh. All right, I'm going to go find a nice place to park. This looks like a nice place to park. Okay. I guess you mean to pull all the way through. So when I leave, I'll be facing the wrong way. So, what's today's subject?
The Survivalist Podcast.
The Survivalist Podcast. You've listened to that recently?
No, I'm just now finally looking into it.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I like his philosophy. He's not one of these people that go completely off the wall and say, oh, they're going to nuke us and you got to have radiation gear and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, he may talk about that kind of stuff, but he's more reasonable about it. All right. His philosophy was, you know, you should prepare your getaway spot. And he was doing that while he was talking about it on his podcast. And he got to the point where his getaway spot was so nice that they decided they actually wanted to live there. So he's already gotten away.
Right.
Yeah, one of the first things he talked about was all the different disasters it could be. And that really hit home when he pointed out that the preparation for all the disasters was the same.
Right.
Food, shelter, clothing. You know, water, but, you know, that goes under food. All right. And those are the basic necessary things that you need to have. And he, in his analysis, he went through all the different possible disasters, like a meteor hitting the earth and nearly splitting it in two. All right? And, you know, pretty severe, affects a lot of people, the whole planet. Chances of it happening, next to nil. All right? And when he did all of his analysis, the more people involved, the less likely it was to happen. On the other scale, the fewer people involved, the more likely it was to happen. But the same preparation went in hand. And here's a disaster that almost everybody's experienced. And it's very personal. It usually only affects you by yourself or maybe your family. It's called job loss. You know? Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So you suffer job loss. Well, you know, when he talks about preparing things, all right, well, if your house is in debt, then your house isn't prepared. Because when you lose, if you lost your job, then you're going to lose your house too. Unless you get another job real quick. You know? And he points out that, you know, that's important preparation. You should be out of debt. That's part of your preparation. Okay? You know, if you've packed away a year and a half supply of food and you lose a job, well, you're not going to starve to death for a year and a half. All right? You know? And if your house is paid off, you're not under any great pressure to grab the next job. You can actually be picky. Make sense?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what I liked about him. To be honest, I haven't listened to him a whole lot recently. But every time I do listen to him, I learn something new and something interesting. So, yeah, he's a good one to listen to.
Cool. I'm going to download some of this stuff. I'm liking him on Facebook right now, subscribing to YouTube, and et cetera. So it's thesurvivalistpodcast.com.
Yeah. TSP.
PTSD?
TSP, the Survival Podcast.
TSP, the Survival Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Survivalist, the Survival Podcast.
Yeah. You sell t-shirts, too.
Pardon?
You sell t-shirts, too. And that's one of the few things that I'd buy an advertising t-shirt for.
Right.
Nike comes out with a t-shirt. I ain't going to spend no $20 for their t-shirt. If I'm going to wear that t-shirt, they better darn well pay me.
Right.
But, you know, the Survival Podcast, he's putting out good information that I'd like my fellow human beings to know. So, yeah, that I'd probably pay for the t-shirt. You know?
Right. Yeah, basically that's what we're doing. We're setting up a backup plan.
Yep, and moving on to it.
And living there, yeah.
Yep, we're not doing the dual life thing, though. Most people do the dual life thing. They live in the city, but they got some country place that they're prepping. Well, that's what he did. You know, he lived in town. What?
That's where he started out.
Yeah, that's where he started out. He was living in town, and he had a piece of a getaway property and was prepping it and getting it ready. And they got to the point where they just enjoyed being there so much, they didn't really want to go back to town. You know, it was quiet, it was peaceful, they had all the food they wanted and needed, you know. Who in their right mind would want to go and live with a bunch of loud and obnoxious neighbors that are going to tell you how long your grass has to be and argue over whether that tree should be in the fence line or not?
Right.
Answer that is, own your fence line so you don't have to discuss it with anybody else.
Okay.
Oh, my. Honestly, I'm trying to remember his name. He says it so often. Can they call you?
No, it's my alarm.
I'll tell you that I'm late to get on the program again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about last week. Somebody took me out to dinner, and then about an hour and a half after the fact said, oh, by the way, don't you have a podcast? I swear, he must have done it on purpose.
Never know.
Oh, my. Yeah, I found out why Kelly's been hiring me.
All right.
It turns out the guy he'd normally hire for that work stole a steak out of his refrigerator.
Nice.
You know? Whereas, I won't even steal a log. It's like, you know, do you want that? Okay, you can have it. I don't lay any claim on anything, even after he offered it to me. You know, he changed his mind and decides he wants to keep some of the logs. That's fine.
We won't even steal chickweed.
No, we didn't steal chickweed without permission. It's like, what? You want that? Yeah. You can sell this for good money. You're something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Poor Brian. Oh my. So I guess next week we'll do a review on Brian. Not Brian, on Spirico. Mark Spirico. I think that's his name. Or is it Mike?
Who? The Survivalist Podcast dude?
Yeah. Spirico is his family name.
Yeah. Something like that. Hang on, I'll look. Yeah, Jack.
Wow, I was wrong on the first name. That was even close. Holy smokes, this lady's fast. In the last 10 minutes, this lady parked next to me, and she just came out, and her shopping cart is absolutely full. I don't think she had time to go through the checkout line. I'm thinking maybe she was in line and somebody came and got the van and moved it closer. Okay. Talking about Wonder Woman. Shops Walmart in 10 minutes with a full shopping cart. That's an amazing feat.
Maybe somebody else did shopping for her.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe she was already in line when the van got moved here. She probably sent her boy out to the parking lot and said, here, move the van closer so we don't have to be in the rain with the groceries a long time.
Yeah, probably.
All righty. I am now passing over New Shannon, Maine. For those listeners out in Maine, if you look up, you see a giant griffin flying overhead, that's probably me.
Oh, okay.
That would be freaky if somebody called in and said they saw him fly overhead. Like, are you sure? Because I'm only playing a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured I'd travel up the Canadian coast for a little while and then fly over to Greenland.
Fly to Greenland.
Yep. Well, you saw the map, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I tilted the earth a little bit. So actually, if I fly a straight line between Greenland and Iceland, I should nail that island. And just come down south a little bit. That's a long ways to fly without reference, though. I'll probably end up hitting the north coast of Russia. Have to double back. And the worst part of it is it'll probably take me about a week to fly over all that water. Because I ain't going to sit here 24/7 clicking on the screen.
Right.
Maybe I'll get lucky and somebody will teleport me over.
Teleport you! You mean somebody where? In Greenland?
No, actually, whatever island that is that Longyearbyen is in. What's the name of that place? Hold on. Oh, you can't see it on the map anymore. Longyearbyen. Don Valbard and John Mayen. That's the name of the island, I guess. And it's actually out there. Oh, if you go about 3/4 of the way up the east coast of Greenland and then head straight across. It's about the width of Greenland out into the Atlantic Ocean. And, yeah, I didn't even know that island was there. It's bigger than Iceland and significantly smaller than Greenland. Iceland and Greenland, we've heard of a lot, but this one, I don't even know what the island is. Haven't even heard of it. But the game threw my character over there and trapped him. So now I got to go rescue him. Or I can't use my device to play that game anymore. So I want an international rescue mission. Oh,
to save Doc Harry?
Yep, to save Doc Harry. DD&D is heading out to save Doc Harry.
So, why don't Doc Harry just jump on a bird and fly to the U.S.?
I tried! I can't do nothing. I can't. Doc Harry can't fly, he can't jump out of town, and the tutorial wants him to build a cabin, which can only be done outside, you know, on open ground. And you can plant a flag and plant your cabin on that, or you do the cabin first and then you plant a flag. Which, by the way, if we all wanted to put our cabins side by side, we'd have to pull up the flag first. What's this nice looking town? I can't quite make it out. But since it doesn't have a landing tower, I don't care. Yep. If anybody's curious, the game is called Parallel Kingdom. And its claim to fame is it's using Google Maps so that basically you are fighting monsters and stuff in your own neighborhood. And meeting other players in your own neighborhood and battling it out for territory and land and protecting your kingdom and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, I won't go into it all. The game took my character almost in Europe instead of the Ozarks.
Instead of the Ozarks.
And he's
hacker.
Stuck in a tutorial.
Because you tried to hack the program.
I told you I didn't want to go into it. Parallel Kingdom might be listening. Yeah, I spoofed my GPS coordinates. I wanted to land my new character on the South Pole, and the game couldn't handle it. So it appears that it actually threw me up above the Arctic Circle on the north, in the northern hemisphere, for whatever reason. And the closest town was this town called Longyearbyen. But where I was at first, it was this white space, and I couldn't move. And so I couldn't do one of the first required acts, and that was to double tap on the screen to move to that location. There was something wrong with the program when you got up into the white space. It didn't know how to move you. So eventually I figured out that I could jump to that town. And so I was able to do the exercise where I double tap and move. But, and then after that it wanted me to attack a deer, and after that it wanted me to build a cabin. But the cabin can only be built out of town, and it won't let me go anyplace until I've built the cabin. Rather closed-minded tutorial.
Kind of.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the teacher won't let the kindergartners roam around the classroom. They all have to sit still and behave. But the kindergartners learn more if you let them wander around the classroom. But, you know, that's not what the teacher's there to teach. The teacher's there to teach the kids to sit still and behave, even if it's boring.
Boring.
So that's what this game's basically doing. It's making you do the tutorial and not do anything else. And, well, so I'm stuck. So I'm going to have to go up there, and I figured out basically what I need to do. I'm about to pass through mainstream Maine. I didn't know mainstream was actually a place. It appears that it's on Highway 154.
154.
Yep. Mainstream. Yeah, it's right there where a river crosses, where 154 crosses a river.
Okay.
I guess it was the mainstream. Anyway, I'm headed east on 154. Hopefully I'll run into the ocean fairly soon. I just follow the coastline up, passing over Todd's Corner. Everybody in Todd's Corner, look up. Tell me if you see a hippogriffin.
Hippo what?
Go ahead.
Here what?
I was going to say, the first one to spot me, I'll drop fabulous prizes down on your head.
Yeah.
A fabulous yellow rain with brown tailstones. Oh my. Alright.
All
so
right.
How did you hear about Jack Spirko?
David Ray told me about it.
Oh yeah, that David Ray, he kinda gets around on the radio, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No practical experience in anything, but, you know, he listens to all sorts of weird shit.
Weirdness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolute crazy.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's a lake. Okay, I thought it was passing under the ocean. They got lakes in Maine, you know that? Big ones. Right now, I'm heading up Dove Road, I think it is. Which would also be Highway 7. Yeah, I'm not sure about the ocean crossing thing. It wouldn't take much to miss my mark. I'd probably even miss Russia. I won't know it until I hit Alaska. From the north.
Right. Parallel Kingdoms. I still can't get into the site and see if I can play it on a PC.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to the site to make my reports about the problems I encountered. Just hope they don't ask too many questions about, well, how did you end up there?
Right.
Well, I was aiming for the South Pole, and it gave me north.
Well, supposedly, the Orlando shooting
was
fake.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was fake, but I'd be less surprised if it was staged.
Oh, yeah. That's what they say. That's what they're saying. Orlando shooting staged. Fake crying. Crisis Actors. Dumby card?
Well, it's not a fake crime. It is a crime.
No, fake
crime against the people.
Fake crying.
Oh, fake crying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's another gun grab scam.
It was a make news event.
Make news event. Take our guns. Take our guns. Take our guns. Take our guns.
Yeah. Take our guns. Bullet first. Right in your face.
Right. The more they do this crap, the more they make me want to go buy guns. And I don't
even
have...
Woohoo, I just passed under South Dover. South Dover, Maine. Atkinson's Mill.
All right, you ready for Ron Paul?
Yeah, that sounds good. Maybe he'll spark some conversation from us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, heading to long year by in is certainly not a prepping kind of thing to do. Kind of a make waste of time thing to do.
Oh, yeah, right. Hang on.
Seventh. Last week's UK vote to leave the EU may have come as a shock to many, but the sentiment that led British voters to reject rule from Brussels is nothing unique. In fact, it is a growing sentiment worldwide. Frustration with politics as usual, with political parties that really do not differ in philosophy, with an economy that serves the 1% at the expense of the rest of society, is a growing phenomenon throughout Europe and in the United States as well. The Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump phenomena are but one example of a frustrated public sensing something is very wrong with society and looking for a way out. What is happening in the UK, in Europe, and in the U.S. is nothing less than a breakdown of the entire system. The EU was meant to be a customs union where post-World War II Western Europe could rebuild itself through free trade and a reduction in bureaucracy. Through corruption and political ambition, it became an unelected bully government in Brussels, where the well-connected were well-compensated and insulated from the votes of mere citizens. Whatever happens in the near future, and it is certainly not assured that the vote to Brexit will actually end in the UK's departure from the EU, a line has been crossed that supporters of more personal liberty should celebrate. Rule from London is preferable to liberty-minded Britons than rule from Brussels. Just as Texans should prefer rule from Austin to rule from Washington. That doesn't make either option perfect, just more likely to produce more freedom. Is Brexit the first victory in a large freedom movement? Can we get out of a system that creates money out of thin air to benefit the ruling class while impoverishing the middle class? Can we get out of a central bank that finances the wars that make us less safe? Can we exit executive orders? Can we exit the surveillance state, the Patriot Act? Can we exit the NDAA and indefinite detention? Can we exit the U.S. worldwide drone program that kills innocents abroad and makes us ever more hated? If so, we can hope that the U.S. begins to exit the many institutions that threaten our safety and prosperity. Getting out of NATO would be a good first move. This Cold War relic survives only by stirring up conflict and then selling itself as the only position to confront the conflict it churned up. Wouldn't it be better to not go looking for a fight in the first place? Do we really need still another NATO military exercise on the Russian border? It should be no surprise that NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg was fear-mongering on the eve of the Brexit vote, warning UK citizens that if they vote to leave, they could face increased terrorism. Likewise, the U.S. would do well to exit the various phony free trade agreements that provide advantage to well-connected elites while harming the rest of us. The act of exit is liberating. We should make a longer list of those things we would like to get out of. I am only getting started. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
Exit, exit, exit. Step this way to see the great egress.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hang on.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
How about press 2 to stop the repeat?
No, it only repeats itself twice. But I tried, or 3 times. I tried different
keys?
Yeah. It'll disconnect itself. On my phone, I don't know why. Sometimes it'll let me disconnect. Sometimes it won't. Right now.
Anyway, that's not the subject of discussion here.
Yeah, my phone stuck. That's not the discussion.
Okay. You kept saying exit and it sounded weird. It sounded like saying ectit, ectit, ectit. It's like, what's ectit?
Exit, the communist rule.
Yes.
Where they stage fake shootings to take our guns. They send our innocent people to other innocent countries to fight uninnocent wars.
Right. And that's why I was stealing Barnum & Bailey's routine. Right, you know, at the end of the show, you go, hurry, 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 step this way to see the great egress. What's an egress? Bunch of people leaving. So I changed it because he kept saying exit, exit, exit. So exit, 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 step this way to see the great egress. Yeah, we need to leave some things and stop feeding the negative phenomena.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, we're next. You know, we got to educate the world, not just our own citizens or sovereigns, because once we start waking up, they're going to start sending people from other countries over here to fight us.
Well, okay. Now, some people might not understand that concept. So here's my understanding, all right? Who are you answerable to? Okay? There's only really one entity in the universe that you're answerable to, all right? And, you know, if you don't believe in him, I guess then you don't really have anybody. But That's our Father in heaven. That's the only one that you're answerable to. Anybody else who tries to make you answer to them, they're stepping between you and God. And they don't have any right to be in that space. Okay? So, you know, that's true of everybody on this planet. You know, and so one of the definitions of a sovereign is somebody who is only answerable to God. Well, that's all of us. All of us are only answerable to God. You know, we gotta explain ourselves to our Father in heaven when we meet him someday. All right? So, you know, so we're all sovereigns. We all need to do what's right, when it's right, because it's right, on our own. Instead of having somebody, you know, do our thinking for us. We need to do our own thinking. We need to apply our own morality instead of letting somebody else dictate to us what's right and what's wrong. You know, we all know the basics. Don't harm one another.
Right.
Anyway, you're quiet, so I'm ranting, so.
Rant.
Yeah, I don't do that very often, do I?
That's fine.
Just those key subjects. I start ranting.
Yeah, what's our exit strategy?
The who, what, where?
What is the exit strategy?
Well, one of them is CES. Take control of your own funding. You know? I forget who the person that they keep quoting is, but you know, he basically said, give me control of the money, and I care not what laws are written.
You know, right.
You are ruled by your bank. And that's basically why Scripture said the bank is supposed to be in your pocket. Because the moment you let somebody else control the currency, that's the moment you've given up your freedom. And,
right.
And your freedom is God-given. And for you to just throw it away like that, that's slapping God in the face.
Pretty much.
So. Not like God suffered when you do stupid things, but, you know, you can't say
maybe
he didn't tell you so.
He might suffer emotionally.
That's, you know. I can't quite make out this road. I think it's 95.
Wow, I don't have a Magnify app on this thing? That's odd.
That's not appropriate. There we go. So yeah, hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody come and see the great egress.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, take care, take control. Take control of your own environment, basically. You know, your neighbor needs help, go give your neighbor help. Don't wait for Uncle Sam to do it for you. You know? Because what's Uncle Sam going to do it with? He's gonna steal from you to help your neighbor. Then you resent your neighbor because you know that your money went to him. And your neighbor that received that money starts to resent you because he knows you resent him. Next thing you know, you can't talk to each other.
Right.
Oh.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
That might actually be a good thing.
I know, right?
Brand new, wonderful world. A brave new world. But not one like the movie of that name.
Yeah, what was that? Aladdin?
No, there's a movie, Brave New World. It's an old movie. It's a classic. You should watch it.
Oh, okay.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
I'm sure it was top-of-the-line special effects when they made it, but you'll kind of laugh at the lack of special effects. But it's basically a sci-fi predicting that the system would eventually take over and, you know, humanity would be nothing more than a bunch of slaves. So. That's an interesting town name. The city of Medway. M-E-D-W-A-Y, Medway.
Interesting.
So is that like a medical community, or is that just their way of pronouncing mid?
Well, it could have been a medical community. I mean, I used to live in a town called Medical Lake, Washington. And people used to come there because they believed that the mud from the lake had medicinal value, and it probably did.
Yep.
From whatever was in the soil or in the earth, you know, kind of like Eldo, people used to come there for the sulfur water because it had medicinal value.
Yeah, so and now people revel against the
right. So people used to go up there for the medicinal value of the lake, and so it got the name Medical Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, and a town formed around it. Pretty
Medville.
Cool.
Okay. So I'm joking about their strange spelling of the name. And it could have a legitimate cause.
Well, of course it has a legitimate cause. We just got to figure out what it is.
True. Just like all the street names you have in your town. They actually have meaning. Somebody picked those names for a reason.
A lot of the new ones are communist.
Yeah.
Like Martin Luther King Boulevard.
They use that one for communist causes.
Well, the thing of it is they want you to revel in the whole Martin Luther King movement.
But they don't really want you looking into what he said.
Not only that, but they don't really want you looking into what he did. What he did was he increased the size, the cost, extended the reach, and the power of government.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
If you go look up on YouTube, my video, More Government, Less Government, Charlie Smith talks about it in there. And the reason why I suggest people to listen to Charlie Smith talk about it is because Charlie Smith's black, so you can't call him a racist.
No.
Yeah.
You can't call him a racist because it's not possible for the black man to be racist, or is it because he's talking about other black men?
Well, anytime you talk about somebody who's black or LGBT, well, that wouldn't be racist. But, you know, you talk about somebody who's doing a crime against the people and you're not of their nationality, the first thing the communists will say is, oh, you're a racist.
Well,
try to blow
you
know, thing
we'll say that he's a self-loathing black man, what they'll say.
Whatever. Yeah, so basically what they'll do is they use the race card as their trump card to deflect anything that you have to say to label you so people will get distracted from the truth.
Yeah, why look at the truth when it came from some ignoramus who's a racist? When they weren't really a racist in the first place, it's just...
Right, but that's their trump card.
Yeah.
But it works. So, yeah. That's why Lenny is the main spokesperson against the communist Jews. And I guess I would be the main spokesperson against the communist Irish. I don't know. Even though I'm not really Irish, my brother's got all the Irish pride tattoos and does all the Irish pride crap, and we're actually more Anglo-Saxon than Irish.
No, you mean you're sort of German?
We're 32 flavors and then some. I got the list somewhere, but I lost it.
Mama, what am I made of? Well, a little bit of this and a little bit of that and some of this other stuff. And
yeah,
I don't think my family tree really cared too much, because supposedly there's Danes, all right, and that's relatively verifiable. But from my understanding, the Danes really didn't care where their wife came from as long as she was a good woman.
That's
so,
all that matters.
Yeah, so I have supposedly Viking blood, where they'd bring home wives from, you know, Cape Horn if they found a nice-looking one and thought she could cook. All right? And then later, supposedly, the same Danish became what's called Pennsylvania Dutch up in Iowa. And they too didn't really care. And so they intermarried with the local Indian. So maybe my shipmate was right. I probably got some Moroccan blood in me. And I might be part Indian, you know. Who knows? It was so much easier when they told me the kid is a one-quarter mix of this, that, and the other.
Yeah, you're one-quarter mix of 8 different nationalities.
So I'm 2 whole people. Oh, me, oh, my.
I know. I'm Danish.
Oh, I'm not a Gemini.
Right. I'm Danish, Swedish, German, French, English, Native American, Black, French Canadian, Irish, I think even Scottish.
But can you prove it?
Well,
where
actually,
do you live when all these events happen?
True, but they actually have DNA testing now that actually can break up your DNA and
yeah,
tell you what your nationalities are.
They haven't been too happy with some of the results, though.
Ah.
Because like, they were looking for Levites, and they found Levites in just about every race. There's
probably
certain genes that when they were testing a group of known Levites, there are certain genes that showed up in 90% of them or more. And so it became a reliable test for determining if somebody had Levite ancestry or not. And so at one point, this whole African tribe came up and said, yeah, we're all Levites. And they poo-pooed it, and just to shut them up, they had them all tested. And they found out the whole tribe was Levites, and they were jet black.
Nice.
It was like, so, I mean, you know, I've got friends who say that the lost tribes are the white people. The whites are the chosen race. You know, and then you get stuff like that. It's like, well, here's some Levites, and their skin color is darker than midnight. What do you got to say for yourself then? There goes that theory out the window.
Right.
Oh. That's all right. Somebody handed me a PDF that proves that the Indian tribes are the lost Hebrews. Goes into
Native
great
American?
Detail. Yep. Native Americans. They're
well,
the lost Hebrew tribe.
Indians. Those Africans are Indians also.
Okay. Wow, how far can 95 go before it hits the ocean? Odd-numbered highways, don't they run north-south?
In the U.S. they do.
Yeah. So I'm in Maine, traveling down 95. When I first got on, it was heading north. Now it's heading due east for quite a ways. Oh, now it's turned slightly to the south. That's going to get confusing. And U.S. Highway 2 is running parallel to it in places. Well, yeah, Ron Paul's kind of right. We need to make a list of things we need to exit. Oh, I got a newspaper article to write. I don't even know how to approach it. Because quite frankly, if I write this article, with my mindset, I'll be calling my local C Cedar Countyans a bunch of frickin' idiots for electing this judge and